Hello, everyone. It is a beautiful day in October, the 24th, on the winter side of the equinox. Not that it's winter. It's actually quite summer still here. But we are on that side of days getting shorter in the Northern Hemisphere. And I speak also to you lovely, lovely people in the Southern Hemisphere. You have spring to look forward to. And, oh my gosh, I guess if I had one weather witch of all time would be perpetual spring. That is my favorite season. And we are especially blessed today, again, to have Nancy with us. Nancy, thank you for
coming
in early. You know,
yes.
Sometimes I run into a few login problems here because it's not as easy to be a host as it is to just join the call. And we are here. We know you're going to do a great job, and everybody loves you. So,
well, I'm happy to be here.
I think it's about time we got started because we want to hear what all of you are thinking, needing, and praising. Because God wants to hear all of the above. And let's get started.
Yes.
Okay?
Absolutely. Yes, and I'm just going to shout out a blessing of gratitude and thankfulness for, I'm just coming off on a high of spending a lovely weekend with my youngest son and he had a little boy, so his first son. And so that was really precious and special. And gosh, does it bring you close to love and God, and you feel like you're in this vortex of something that, I don't know, it takes you into another place. And I did what you said, looking into his eyes and just, you know, feeling that connection. So everybody who gets to be blessed with that experience, I know you know how special it is. So just wanted to be thankful for that. So thank you. And I'm going to open up our first caller. So we have, hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Nancy. Hi, Glenda. I have a couple of blessing requests. First up, I'd like to ask for a blessing for my friend Jana on the Isle of Wight, who's having knee replacement trouble and two sets of doctors who are going back and forth, and just I'd ask for Yeshua to come in and just sort it all out so she gets what she needs to heal, please. And for her sister Lynn, who is dealing with her son's passing and the family and the feud over the money and all of that that goes on in families, I'd ask for the lawyers to make the right decision and bless that so it's a win-win situation and that just is resolved. And I'd also like to ask a blessing for my friend Scott, who needs to walk into his abundance. He's a wonderful, loving massage person who I just had a massage from this afternoon. And he gives and gives and gives, but he has a situation with the landlords, and in New York City, it's a tough, tough place. So I'd ask his guardian angels, Yeshua, to come and just resolve this situation for him so he can work out of his home free and clear and without any more worry about landlords and what their leases are and how that is affecting his life. They are my blessing requests, and I'd like to just share, I have been asking Yeshua to come closer to me, to come into my world. I've been inviting him so I can feel his presence more and more in the last couple of months. And I've been dealing with a lot of fear. I'm at a turning point. I am thinking, I'm originally from Sydney, Australia, and I've been living in New York 40 years, and I feel like New York is coming to a sort of natural ending for me, and I have plans to go back to Australia in 2 weeks to just be there and look around and see how it feels to be back there as a possibility of maybe moving back. I don't know anything yet, but I had an encounter with Yeshua on Thursday night. He spoke through a woman who I'd never met, who was from Sydney, And I was at Jazz at Lincoln Center, where I work, and we met, and she just spoke, Jesus spoke through her. And Glenda, it was the answer to every prayer. I've been in so much fear and anxiety about, am I doing the right thing? You know, the mind gets in the way of all the decisions we try to make. And this was just an outpouring from Yeshua that I'm doing the right thing, and that doors will be opened, and that I've turned a corner in my life, and he is with me. He's been holding me all along. And it was the most miraculous thing I think that's ever happened to me, or one of them. And I couldn't quite believe it. This woman, her name was Anne Grace, who he spoke through, and she just hugged me, and it was Yeshua hugging me. And it was everything he said was everything I needed to hear. And all the anxiety that I've been going through, and the stress and the what ifs and what I should, and all of that has just fallen from my shoulders. And he's with me till the end of the world. It's just miraculous. And I wanted to share that with everyone, because he's with us all, and, you know, you ask, and he came at the right time, in the right place, through the right person. And I am more grateful than anything I could ever say in words, in human words. So I just want to say that. I'm so grateful, and I'm just shedding tears of joy right now. It's miraculous.
You were magnificently blessed, my dear.
Oh. Yes, talk about a miracle. And these things happen. They can happen to us all. It happens to
absolutely
anyone.
Absolutely. With him, we are all precious. And he's with us all. So that's why he had to leave the material world, because the material world always has boundaries of space and time. Being in the quantum world, you can be with anyone at any time. All you have to do is call. But you do have to do one more thing. You have to listen. So you were open, you were listening, and you heard him speak.
I don't know where this woman came from who spoke, who he spoke
to. It doesn't matter.
She is from Sydney, and she's going to be waiting for me there in 2 weeks. She gave me her name and number, and she's there to support me when I get there. I mean, you know, wow. Anything can happen in the quantum field, and I want to be in that field and have miracles and magic happen and joy and happiness. And I think and I believe, I don't think, I know that's right in me now forever. And I am so grateful, and coming to your Sunday calls for years now, it's all helped me so much, Glenda and Nancy, and it's just wonderful. Thank you.
It helps you be ready for it.
Yes.
Sometimes it takes a lot of little steps before we get ready to take the big step. And
yes.
That's what I tell people all the time. So you are a wonderful example of exactly how that works. You've been here with courage and faith and hope and listening, and you have been receiving all along. But there were like baby steps, and now you've had the big one. It's amazing.
Amazing. Thank you.
Yeah. Congratulations. well, that's too small a word, actually, but
but human words can't come near what any of this stuff
don't.
Is in the quantum field. They can't express it, but
no, they don't.
But we know what we mean, and Glenda, you're doing this for us for so long, and the books, and reading the books, and the painting, and I have the painting of the Lamb and the Lion beside my bed, and I hold it every night and just say, be with me, and boom, I just got it. When I was ready. I had to let go of all this other silly human stuff and the doubts and what have you. I was ready, and right on time, bingo.
Yeah, his timing is perfect. That's what I've noticed. His timing is perfect. So,
but thank you so much.
Be ready. In fact, just to build on that one more time, there are, I forgot how many, I think three or four stories that he told in the Bible, you know, examples of being ready. One was of the bridesmaid waiting for the groom to appear. The other was waiting for a season to arrive. So he spoke to the apostles many, many times about preparedness and waiting for the divine moment that you're expecting. And don't turn away. See, the great thing is you never gave up your faith. You never turned away. Even though you had anxiety about, how's this going to work out? You know, we all do. That's human. It's okay to have your moments of worry, your moments of anxiety. Just don't ever turn away. Keep asking. Keep staying. Keep preparing yourself, because in the right time, you will get exactly what you're asking for.
Indeed. Yes, indeed. Wow.
Thank you, Elizabeth. You've blessed us all, really. And I know I could feel that you have peace inside of you, like you're just able to rest now and not feel just something really yummy.
what my friend Scott put his hands at the end of the massage, and he put his hands on my heart chakra, and he said, I feel peace coming from you for the first time ever. That's what exactly his words. Oh, I can breathe, and I can breathe better now, because Yeshua said, take a deep breath, and something happened inside my lungs when he was speaking to me on Thursday night, and I breathed in and something let go. I could feel inside myself something let go, and I took the deepest breath I think I've ever taken in this lifetime. I can breathe, I can sleep, I can relax for the first time. It's wonderful. Thank you. I better let other callers get on. I don't want to take the line up too long.
Well, I'm sure everybody wanted to listen, so don't worry about that.
Amen.
But we do need to run. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Elizabeth. We love you so much. So happy to hear this for you. And we have Eva here today. Hi, Eva. Your line is open. Can you hear us, Eva?
Eva, unmute your phone.
Hello, Eva? We sure hope you're okay.
Yeah, well, we know you are.
She'll probably come back on. Let me just see how that works. All righty,
okay.
Let me open another line. Is this Elizabeth? Another Elizabeth? I'm not sure.
This is Stormy.
Oh, it's Stormy. Yes, it is. Hi, Stormy.
First off, Sarah wanted to ask about my music. You have my telephone number there. Can you give that to her so we don't take up any time on the blessing call?
I can.
Okay.
I'll write it down, Stormy.
Right.
I've got it, Linda.
And I want to give blessing about a phone call I received a couple of days ago. Every once in a while, I give a message out to people, a little story I write and send to people on an email about who I am, people that are working with vibrational frequencies or light or angelic. And a couple of days ago, I got a response from a woman in Kentucky. Her background is from India, and she's working with vibrational frequencies. It's something new, but she was so grateful that we were able to spend an hour and a half to talk about all the information that I could give her to imbue her work, her scientific work on the vibrational frequencies she's just getting into. So, you know, what a blessing that I send out these messages, and sometimes I get a response, and that is such a blessing that she just felt the frequency of love between us that I reached out and that she answered. And it's just such a beautiful blessing to still be of service, even though I'm just sitting here. Nevertheless, I reached out across the world and still a great, beautiful service.
Yes, indeed. Well, Stormy, Nancy, can you take his number?
I've got it, and I'm going to pass it on to Sarah.
Okay, great.
Well, thank you,
and
Stormy.
Yes, I really appreciate the first conversation. My music, some 20 years ago, has gone to Australia. It's also gone to New Zealand with cassette tapes I've given to people. So, freely I give, freely I receive. And I've been able to pass along several copies of my music here and there all over the world. And so the work that I do is getting done. Even if it's not in my pocketbook, that doesn't matter. I have enough to live on. And I'm grateful for that.
Amen.
Well, we are grateful for you, Stormy, and we will definitely help you get connected with those who want to know you. All right. Well,
thank you, Stormy. I'm going to open up Eva's line again because she's back on. Thank you, Stormy. We have Eva.
Oh, hi, yeah. Another call came in, and I pushed the wrong button and got disconnected, so here I am. So that's good.
Okay.
I thought maybe I'd have to wait longer, but here I am. Well, I've been in bed for the last 3 days now because I was in an emergency all day on Friday, and they discovered now with the pain that I started having where it got worse that I have a pelvic fracture also. So so now I really would like some more blessings. And I know that, who was the first caller? I forget.
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, that's right. Elizabeth was talking about waiting, you know, for the time. And I feel like I've been waiting long enough, but it will come eventually. And I need more patience to wait for that all to come about, because sometimes I just feel like I'm almost gone and I don't want to be gone yet. So anyway, that's my request.
We don't want you gone either, Eva. We pray for you. And I know that the revelations you're seeking will come. And just be prepared. And one way you can be prepared, anyone who is in a complicated health situation, is constantly seek advice, inquiry, do your due diligence when reading about what might be implicated, because you have to be prepared to connect to the right person when they become available, and to know who and what that right person will be all about. There are a lot of innovations occurring in the medical field, not so much the conservative medical field as in the innovative medical field. But there are a lot of developments, and just stay tuned to what's happening in your area of need. And you will be surprised at how much you are ready to be blessed.
Well, I'm waiting for a big surprise, and I'm working with a woman that deals with the emotional side of all of these things. It's a man who discovered the emotional code, or sort of developed it, and I've been with her a few times, or she does like remote work. So I just had backflashes of things that happened when I was a kid, even my terrible fear of doctors because of what happened to me when I was a child.
And so she's helping to clear some of those things out, which I think are helping, but they were not giving me the big miracle that I was hoping for, but I think they're little by little getting rid of some of my traumas
that's from
the past.
The way it works, Eva. And I think that's I think that's a very big thing you're clearing, because your fear of doctors could carry over to your fear of remedies, fear of health. And you need to
I was
be
a sickly child.
You
I
were
was a sickly child. I had asthma very badly.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm so sorry.
So that's I think part of what's still with me, and I'm hoping that that will clear. They didn't know how to take care of kids when I was little. As far as thinking of how you felt, how a child felt, taking me away from my mother at the time when I was into their offices without my mother coming with me. So I think that was a big thing. And I was supposed to go back two more times, and I said, I'm not going back. I just wouldn't go back. My brother was offering me money. Nothing could persuade me. And yet the doctor said I had to be doing this, but I just was stubborn and wouldn't do it. So I think it was better, because I would have just probably been on drugs all my life.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my story. And I appreciate all the help that you are giving.
You're very, very welcome to it. And it's our pleasure.
It That's is. The best part.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Eva. And just rest today and be open for a wonderful blessing and lots of love surrounding you. We love you so much.
Yeah, I love you all too. It's been a great help to be a part of this group. It's changed my life tremendously. So thank you very much for
great.
That.
That's great to hear.
Okay. We love you, Eva. I'm going to open up another caller. Aria, how are you today?
I am good. Thank you. Blessings to everyone. Compassion for Eva, and I think she's on the right track there. Jeff and I are going to the beach. We're driving to California to be by the ocean on Tuesday for 4 nights. But I'm asking for Yeshua's blessings for the trip, and that we have some relaxation, and we're going to also bless the water and the ocean, because that's one of my jobs. And I love it. And it's a big deal, because I don't go anywhere. So also for Jamie, our dog, because there'll be a gentleman named John that'll be watching him, and he'll be coming in. And Jamie has trachea issues, but he's doing pretty good. So just blessings on the trip and for Jamie. And then also we have a 30-night minimum vacation rental at next door, and it's been vacant. And so asking for the right people to rent it. We live next door, so.
Okay. All right. That'll help cover your vacation. That's good.
It would be good if we could get someone. We had somebody, but he was very demanding, and he left after 5 days, and he was just intense.
Okay.
So blessings to everyone and you, and thank you so much for everything, and Nancy and the beloved community. Thank you all. We love you.
Oh, we love you, Aria.
Thank you.
And have a safe and happy trip.
Thank you, Glenda.
Yes, and we look forward to hearing how wonderful it was. But thank you.
Definitely. Thank you.
Okay, we have Jean. Your line is open.
Hello, Glenda. Hello, Nancy. Hello, everyone. I'm asking for a blessing as I simplify my business. I'm asking for guidance and discernment as to how to go about doing it, for courage. I've had episodes of severe anxiety about it, and just, you know, pray for protection and guidance as I go through this process. This past week, I took two separate webinars on different aspects of what I'm going through to help me to do it correctly and to, you know, be aware of what I need to do it correctly. And I did call in about this once or twice before, and I'm thankful for the steps I've been able to take, and, you know, feeling that I was, you know, taking some steps that were a bit scary, but, you know, praying about it and looking at it and feeling that, yeah, I was taking some steps, but there's a whole bunch more steps I need to take, and you know, just praying for courage and guidance and you know, to feel relaxed and focused so that I can use my energy to move ahead in the process and not freeze up, but to feel, you know, what path I should be taking in. There's just numerous decisions I have to make. So, and thankful for the blessings that I've received already going down the path. So that's pretty much it.
Well, you know, that's a very, very human process that you're talking about. We take a step, and then we hesitate, and we take another step, and we think the next step will bring confidence. I want to offer a little different perspective on what you're doing and interject an idea that you might use for accelerating the process, because
okay,
the process you're in could go on infinitely. I remember before I accepted the covenant to produce the Lamb and the Lion, that process went on for about a year and a half, really. And it was so back and forth, so back and forth. I was annoyed with the process. And actually, we can get annoyed with the process. I think we felt a little bit of that in Ava's voice, because she's going through a different kind of process. And yes, we do have to, sometimes we have to wait, but not always is waiting the issue. The real issue many times is getting to a choice point where we actually make a choice that we're going to hold to. And it doesn't matter. We get to a point where we're going to make a choice. It doesn't matter if it works or it doesn't work. I'm doing it. And we hold to that choice point. And there's no more process. We're there. You see, to focus in specifically on an example, I was at that time in the process of, will I do it? Won't I do it? Is it the right thing to do? Am I prepared to do it? Am I up to the job? All these things we can go through. So I sat down at the dining room table and I said, okay, today I'm making a decision and I'm going to pray until God enters my heart and mind and helps me to make a decision I can live with. And I said, you know, I am making a decision today, and it probably will be that I will not paint this painting. In fact, I let God know I probably won't do this. and for I listed all the reasons why I couldn't, shouldn't, wouldn't do it. Wore myself out and fell asleep on the table when a light woke me up. A brilliant light that eventually I would express some part of as the first light painting. Well, you see, when I laid out all my reasons why not to do something, then that's the way it was going to be unless God wanted something else. And he wanted something else and he let me know it. You know, you're not in this alone. You're not, I think the biggest source of anxiety we all have is we think we're in this alone. And if we don't make, the right decision, if we don't do everything necessary, we're going to regret it for the rest of our lives, because the rest of our life we're going to be living alone also. You're not in anything alone, my friends. You're not.
Mm.
We overwork our individuality to the point that we've put ourselves in a little box that we and only we live in. And by protesting, sometimes we break down the walls of that box. And we say, nope, I'm not going to do it. And the others who were there with us will break the walls down and come in and say, you want to bet you're not going to do it? Well, that's what happened to me on November the 23rd. He came in with that light and said, you want to bet you're not going to do this? And I said, oh, my goodness, holy cow. What am I looking at? Well, the rest is history. But the point I'm trying to make is that we have built within us a destiny. Now, I'm not talking about preordination in the cheap sense of the word, like giving up responsibility. Well, you know, I didn't have any choice. You know, I mean, I was just meant to be da-da-da-da, whatever. No, I'm not talking about the neglectful responsibility of deferring it to preordination. No, you're not ordained for anything, but you have a living destiny within you in that there's a path that will take you to your personal fulfillment. And that's the only path that will take you to your personal fulfillment. Okay? And we have to blow off all the other options.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to lay that out for you, because I can see you're going through this choice point deliberation pretty strongly. And it's a human characteristic. We all do it at times. And the end of it is usually never that we work our way out of it that way. We work our way out of it because something breaks in to give us evidence we had not even considered, or something breaks in to present an opportunity we've never considered, or something lights up a fire within us that makes a particular choice inevitable. So as long as you're going back where all sides are relatively equal, the good, the bad, the indifferent, and you're just going around in a circle on the good, bad, and you're not getting anywhere. That's not going to do it for you, Jane.
Okay. Right.
Okay,
and I look at it, and I think if I make this choice, there's these dangers down that path. Or if I make a different choice, there's these dangers. And how likely are certain things to happen, and how likely are the other things? And you know, then I worry about it, and I try to find out information. I try to do it right. But what you're saying, you know, choice point, I'm not in it alone. You know, just keep praying for the right, you know, for discernment and make that choice. And, you know, just know that Jesus is going to be there to, you know, be with me as I go through it, and
look for opportunities and revelations that take you out of this choice point circularity that you're in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, I will.
Yeah, find the positive. Find the opportunity. Find the reason why you would want to change from what you've been doing.
Right. Right, yeah. And
when you focus on the positive, that will attract the revelations you need.
Okay. Okay, and I can identify the positive pretty easily because it's just that I haven't been looking as much in that direction. But
that's where you need to go.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you, Jean.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I know that helped you.
Yes, it did. It was very helpful.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jean, we're going to move on. We have so many wonderful callers. Caroline, your line is open.
Hey, well, I wasn't here last week because I was on the top of Haleakala with some friends doing trying to do a blessing for Maui. And so I'm hoping that also tied in with what you guys were doing last week because it was around the same time as the blessing ceremony was going on with you. But this week I'd like to have a blessing for some traveling I'm going to be doing and also a trip that my son is doing here to Maui to try to set up a medical center here sometime in the near future. And then I'm going to be going to California and to England for the first time since 2019. So it's going to be a kind of interesting and maybe challenging trip. So in a lot of ways. So I was just hoping to get some blessings for that to go well and for, you know, for the best and highest good to ensue from the trip. And that's really
it. That's wonderful. All right. Well, a spirit will go with you. And our
thank
love
you.
Will go
and,
with you.
Okay. Yeah. And we need continued blessings for Maui because of all the displaced people who are struggling and the difficulties they're going through trying to remake their lives there. Yeah. Okay. And that's it.
Oh,
thank
well.
You.
Many, many blessings to you, Caroline. And we missed you last
thank
week.
You. Yes.
Always.
Okay.
Thank
love
you.
You all.
Bye. Love you too. We have, let's see, is this Nancy?
Yes, it is.
Oh, hi, Nancy.
How are you doing? I just want to give thankfulness, gratitude for family, friends, people at work. Everything in my life is just so peachy, but it's like, but I do have blessings to ask for my sister. She had surgery on her brain to see what they found some stuff, and but turns out to be benign. But she has headaches now from that surgery, and blessings on that to relieve the pain. And on me, because, you know, health, you know, challenges, not really problems, but, you know, diabetes and eye problems and neuropathy, all that stupid stuff. Anyway, so blessings. And for anybody else who forgets to ask that, you know, they think that it's kind of stupid that they're having pain, you know, so they won't ask, you know. Help them too.
We
so,
ask for everyone.
Wonderful. Anyway, that's it. Thank you all. I love you.
We love you too, and so happy to hear your life is peachy.
It is. It's cooler
that's a
good now. It's only in the 90s.
Yeah.
This has become our new norm.
Because mm-hmm. Nancy and I are in the same area. We're kind of like, oh, yeah. It's so many in the night. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for asking on behalf of everyone who deals with pain. So and doesn't want to ask. So thank you, Nancy. We have more callers, Glenda. We have, hi, Christopher. How are you today?
Sorry, I think I was on mute. Hi, everybody. And
hello,
I just want to say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, Elizabeth, that was an amazing share, and it sparked me to just want to give gratitude to Yeshua. And one thing in particular, Glenda, I was looking at the painting last night in the email that you sent, an invitation to today's call. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I've looked at the painting 100 times, but suddenly it was very alive to me. And I zoomed in on his face, and I just started feeling such joy, like this is him, you know, this is the one. And that love, that very specific quality of love. And I looked closely at the field behind him, and I looked closely at the green grass beyond the tree in the distance. And I saw all the sheep grazing there, and him holding one, and like a mama sheep standing in front of him. And all of a sudden, she was just alive to me, like such a living presence. And
well,
I don't know,
that's the way it was. Everything in that vision was alive. Every tree, every branch on the tree.
I was blown away. And suddenly, you know how sometimes when you look at art, you know, you can look at it for the aesthetic value, and other times you get a transmission of deeper meaning from the the form. And suddenly I was just like, wow, I see the way I saw the field. And the little baby sheep that he was holding, I saw it as, you know, he comes out of that idyllic pasture of green below, and he goes and finds the ones who are kind of caught up in that worldly, out in that worldly zone. You know, you got the plowed fields there. And I thought, uh-huh. That was me. You know, that was me. I was kind of lost
uh-huh.
out there. And I wanted him so much. And so that painting just represented to me the amazingness of this community and what he's doing, what he did through coming to you and saying, I want you to paint a portrait of me, how it made a space for people like me to come back to him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's the only reason for the painting, was to restore connections that may have been broken. That's all he wanted from it, you know. It wasn't to be a new altarpiece or to be anything grandiose, but he wanted it to be very, very particular. And one of the things that I noticed in painting the painting is that there were no generalities. Everything, every blade of grass had its own significance. It's kind of like he said to the apostles, not a sparrow falls that my father doesn't know. Not a hair on your head will grow that it isn't among the counted. And what he was really telling the apostles is we are not living in a universe that can be generalized.
Mm-hmm.
Philosophy won't cut it. You know, the
mm-hmm.
thing is, there are points in our lives where a little bit of philosophy focused in the right direction can help us put the pieces of our own life back together, get focused, get oriented. But it's not going to take you the distance back to God, because God is very, very particular. Every hair on your head is counted. Every flower in the field, every petal on the flower is counted. And when I was painting that painting, it's like there wasn't any place I could stop. There was always something else to paint. I was working on his beard, and I lost count of how many strokes, hair strokes, are in that beard. But every single hair had to be painted.
Right.
And then as I was doing it, I was thinking, every little hair represents maybe a person that he wants to connect with. Every little leaf in the field is maybe another person he wants to connect with. And of course, if you, a lot of people don't really recognize this at first, but he's standing out in the middle of a field of more than likely, it's a very low growing vineyard. Some of the vineyards in the Middle East are very close to the ground. They're only like 2 feet off the ground. And that's because water is a scarcity. And they grow them very, very low. And I seem to recognize the kind of texturing that is in a vineyard because I had one. And it's all in its winter mode. But the green grass in the distance is out where the sheep are grazing. But why is he standing out in the middle of, well, it could be another crop, but I think it probably is a low-growing vineyard. Why is he standing out in the middle of a field that has no grass in it, that is in its winter mode, holding a lamb? Well, it's, to me, it's obvious. That little lamb strayed away from its mommy
mm-hmm.
and was out in that field going,
mm-hmm.
you know. And he went out to pick up the lamb. And, of course, when he picked up the lamb, then mom came to follow. So it's all about picking up the lamb, holding the lamb. The lamb was lost. The lamb was disconnected. It even gotten away from its mom. So now that he's picked up the lamb, mom knows where to find him. And mom knows it's safe to go and get him. So his work is not only about restoring us to him and to God, but about restoring us to others who care about us. You know, we get lost sometimes from our family, our friends. They don't know where to look for us, and they don't know why we've gone. And they think, well, maybe they left because they hate us. No, we just got lost. You know, when he comes and finds us, then everybody celebrates.
Hmm. Yeah. Beautiful, Glenda. I just wanted to say thank you to you for saying yes. I know you make it sound like you had no other choice today. but yeah, there's something very profound about this community and the opportunity to come back in a space that feels very safe. That feels very connective, that uh-huh. doesn't feel like church, you know, where some of us don't want to go back. And now, having been here for long enough, I can go back. You know, I found a really cool church locally that I'm really enjoying that resonates with me. And it's given me a sense of connectedness that I didn't have before, which I was seeking. So, you know, I just never would have happened otherwise. And so I'm just, uh-huh. I just want to celebrate him and your painting and this community with so much gratitude.
Beautiful. Oh, thank you, Christopher. That's right. We love being friends with you. You always spark some special fire of spirit when you speak.
Oh, so
you've been given
you
the
too.
Gift of. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
oh, one blessing to, uh-huh. to request now. You know, Glenda, sometimes I feel like I could never get enough of Yeshua or God. And it astounds me because I'll feel this longing, you know, this like, where have you been? And it's only been a day since I had an experience of being close. And so I just wonder if anybody in the community can relate. I can picture people raising their hands. Sometimes I feel like I can't get enough of it, you know? And so there is a prayer. I found a PhD program at a seminary. It's a non-denominational seminary, and it's the psychology and theology. And part of their mission is to help people who have been harmed by the church and to help families and to help children. And so there's just something that always called me, that balance between spirituality, religion, and psychology. So I'm just putting a prayer out for, with, you know, and asking for a blessing about discernment around that, because I was accepted. I don't know if I'm going to do it. I'm feeling drawn to it. So just a prayer for a blessing for that.
Okay. You got it.
Thank you.
You got it. Thank you, Christopher.
And Nancy,
have a wonderful rest. Oh, sorry. Whoops. Christopher, I kicked him off. I'm so sorry. Oh, Christopher, I pushed a button too quickly. We'll have to bring you back in. Ollie, your line's open. I apologize, Christopher.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Ollie.
Much love to all of you.
Oh, much love to you. And how is everything in the beautiful Caribbean?
Well, you know, first I want to start with, everything is great. I want to start with some gratitude because, and you know, I was looking for a job for a while, and I kept looking at my same industry over and over, and I couldn't find anything for the longest time, for almost 5-6 months. And then a friend said, why don't you try doing something? You're bilingual. Why don't you try doing something in this other industry? And I started a new job as an interpreter, and I'm so happy. I've never been happier in my life. So it doesn't pay much, but I want to express my gratitude because it's something new, and I feel that, like, I'm helping people. And I know you were all praying and including me in your blessings for my during my job search. So I want to express my gratitude to all of you.
Oh, well, we're very happy to hear your news, Ollie. And you sound happy.
Yeah.
You know, happiness will magnify your blessings. So this is just the beginning of blessings. Just the beginning.
And I also wanted to ask for a friend who's an incredible being, a loving, loving person. And she has had so many challenges. Her puppy, her doggy died. Then her mother passed. Then, like, a month later, she was diagnosed with cancer. And they had it surgically removed, but now it's back. So I would like to include her in the blessing. Her name is Sandra Valentin, and she's an amazing soul. So the type of cancer she has, only 1% of the population have it, so there's no real treatment for that. But I know Yeshua knows how to deal with that. So
I want to
ask the community to join me in the blessing for this amazing person.
We will.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ollie.
Love you all.
Oh, love you too, and can't wait to hear from you again.
Oh,
yes.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a few more callers. We have, let's see. It looks like Sarah's line is open.
Oh, aloha. Aloha, Nancy and Glenda and beloved community. I am so grateful to be a part of this community. It is such beautiful, miraculous community. Thank you, Glenda. Thank you, each and every one, for your presence. And thank you, Stormy. And how about Glenda? I'll email you, and then you could give me Stormy's number that way.
You can Sarah, I also have your number. If you want me just to text it to you,
please.
I can do that too.
Please. Oh, that'd be wonderful, Nancy. Yes, please. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Stormy. I'm looking forward to that so much. I want to ask for a blessing for a dear family friend named Eric, who just went home to God. The blessings for his journey, and blessings especially for his mom and his dad and his whole family and their mourning. And I want to ask for a blessing for myself and for any of my brothers and sisters who can relate to this, where something happened. It felt like on Friday where my timing just got a little off, like in a very interesting way. I'm really curious about it. And just restoring that natural timing. And it was actually so interesting. It wasn't like literally on the clock that it was off. I could just feel my timing being slightly off. But then this morning, my father and I, we were actually late for services. And we were like, wait, what? We looked at the clock, our clock. When we got home, I realized the clock itself was about 15 minutes off. It was still running. It hadn't lost power. But it was just so, it was, you know, just really interesting. So a blessing for us to be restored to our natural time and rhythms and to get back onto that.
Okay. All right. Well, watch nature. Watch the natural, look at where the sun is in the sky and watch for the sunset. That will do it for you.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you,
You're
Sarah.
You're so welcome, Sarah. We love hearing from you every week. Okay.
Oh, I love you.
Love you too. And we have one more caller. We have Stephen. Your line is open.
Oh, hello. So happy to be here in this amazing, wonderful community. Thank you, everyone. I just want to share this wonderful quote that's always been one of my favorites having to do with indecision. It goes like this, which I'm sure many have heard of this one before. It's famous. Until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back, always ineffectiveness. The moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. Begin it now. So I review that for my own life a lot because, especially the last couple of years, I feel like I've been in a state of indecision and having almost too many choice points and wondering which direction. And I find myself always resisting most what I fear most. And it's interesting because what for myself, you know, and I know what my heart's highest calling is. And typically that's the thing I'm fearing the most. And so I've already learned that about myself. So any opportunity I have to face that fear and act in this, you know, commitment and boldness way is my right path. And I also know that when I can't really make a decision where two opportunities seem equal I'm going around in my head around all the different ifs, thens, and whats and probabilities, I usually just take it into my heart, and my heart immediately will say, oh, okay, this feels better. This feels right. And my heart doesn't go through all those machinations and calculations. It just
kind of
knows.
No, it doesn't. That's the mind at work.
Oh, okay. Okay. But anyway.
The mind wants to consider everything. And most things are useless to consider. I mean, simply useless.
Yeah. And but what I've, it seems like when I take something to my heart, even though my mind will resist it, my heart just kind of knows, you know, it's like, no, that's where you need to go.
And your soul is actually the decision maker. It's that's the boldness that was in that quote that you just read us. So the heart will discern what is truly relevant for your life, and your soul, the soul that you are, is the decision maker.
Okay.
And the mind the mind is kind of useless when you get into at that stage of decision making.
Yeah, it seems like the mind just kind of, like I said, wants to present all sorts of probabilities and if-then statements and all that.
Well, it's good at collecting information, and so often it collects too much information.
Yeah, so right now I'm faced with an opportunity to do some product development, and so I'm sitting with that. It looks pretty promising. I'm just searching for all different avenues to progress. I've got to move here pretty soon in a couple months, so I've got a lot on my plate. So I'm just asking for blessings on, you know, that soul heart decision making mechanism to, you know, be there for me, and and then just a further blessing to help me with, you know, the pain that I'm managing and experiencing in my own body. So that's it. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome.
and be blessed. Just receive. The blessings are already with you. It's the timing of when you will receive. And, you know, timing has come up from several people today, and I think it's because we're all a little alerted to the fact that our whole world is going through this decision, choice point, chaos. And we're concerned about, well, when is the answer coming? When is the real decision going to happen? When will we know? When will we make a turn that goes in the right direction? So each one of us in our own way is a reflection of what's going on in the larger picture. And there's something good about that too, because this way you know that you're part of what's happening. And the other thing is, what you do that's positive with your life is also like a steering wheel that you take hold of that affects everything else. You are not in this alone. And I don't think I can say that too many times. You're not. None of us are. We think we are, but we're not. And I don't know why we think that. Because I know that as children, we were probably wanting to be left alone. Like, Mom, don't make all my choices for me. Dad, don't tell me what to do. You know, we kind of wanted to be walking our own path. But really, the fact is, we're not. We're in this together. We're in everything together. And that's where our help comes from, the fact that we're not in this alone. So consider other people in your life, and I say this to everybody, this isn't just to you, Stephen. Consider everybody in your life and the fact that they are struggling also. And if you're getting more negativity or stress from someone else than you would like, just ask for blessings that they be calm. Have a calm spirit, and that you can be a calm spirit in the storm yourself to bring stability. Maybe you're the one, and I'm not saying this just you, Stephen, saying this to everybody, but maybe you're the one that needs to bring stability. Maybe you're the one that needs to bring revelation to others. Maybe you're the one that makes the difference. You got to consider that. Everybody. And it's not an easy responsibility to accept, and yet it's the most glorious privilege in life. And when you realize that you have made a positive difference by living your life or by making a choice that you made, then you glow from within. You really do, and you discover your importance to others, your significance in life, and that you do make a difference. That's a wonderful feeling. It's a wonderful feeling, everybody. And the only way you're going to discover it is you accept that you're not in this alone, and you step forward to consider how you can benefit others, how you can serve others. I was listening to, I've been doing this on a regular basis just to have a different viewpoint on our spiritual heritage and our spiritual path. I located a brilliant, charming, very, very human, wise rabbi that has a channel on YouTube. And I've been listening to him, and I love the fact that he can take points that we have in Christianity and just reverse them and yet come out with the same glorious result. He's just got this unique viewpoint. And one of his viewpoints was right along the lines of what I was saying. So often we're asking, God, why don't you help me? Why don't you make a difference in my life? You've got to heal me. You've got to give me. And he says, why don't you change your prayer to, God, how can I help you? We tend to think that God, being the Almighty, who created everything, doesn't need anything. But he said in a very poignant way, if he didn't need something, why in the name of good sense did he ever create you? He said he created you because he needs love. He created you because he needs someone to understand the beauties and the mysteries of his universe, to forward his creation. He created you to help him. And he got really pretty passionate about it. But it was like, oh my goodness. That's when my life changed. When I realized I could actually help him. And I was never the same after that. And he went on to say, you know, if you make yourself a worthy workman, you think he's not going to pay you? He said, ordinary human beings who hire people to do work for them, they give them a paycheck at the end of the week. You think our Almighty Father is not going to pay you for working for him? He said, try working for him. This is him talking. Try working for him and see if he doesn't pay you. He may pay you in money. He may pay you in healing. He may pay you in happiness or a better family life. Try working for him and see how he pays you. And, you know, I had a real epiphany, a confirmation type epiphany on how true that is. Because after my struggles and traumas between 2020 and 2022, I had a herniated disc and pain in my spine that frequently was at a level 9, immobilized, completely immobilized. And I thought, I can't live with this. I'm not going to live with this. So I'm going to, I told my sister, I said, okay, Tiffany, we're going to do a seminar. And she said, how in the world are you going to do a seminar? And I said, I don't know, but we're going to do it. I said, you're going to help me. I want you to go out and find the hotel we're going to do it in. And we're going to do a mailing. We're going to run it by everybody, see if everybody's interested, and we're going to do it. And I ran it by Yeshua, and I said, Yeshua, I want to do this seminar because people need it. And it's God's work in this world, and I need to do it. And he said, you'll be fine. I think it's a great idea. And I just got busy doing it. And then I was still in pain, and I came to him one night, and I said, okay, am I going to be able to follow through on this? Because people are making their airline reservations, and they're paying for this. And I can't take their money if I can't do it. And he said, you'll be fine. Well, I woke up the next morning. I was fine. I mean, I got paid. That's the first time I realized I got paid. I wasn't just fine. I could jump. I could dance. I could bend. I could shake. I could run across the room. And the day before, I was off and on in a level 9 pain. And it never came back. It was done. It was completed. I got paid. So I think you might want to think about what you can do for others. I think you might want to think about what you can do for God. I think you might want to make yourself an indispensable person in this collective environment that you're part of anyway. You're not an only one. I guarantee you that. You are not an only one. You're part of it. You're part of it all. So instead of saying, well, where's my part in it? Maybe make your part in it. by serving God, serving others, and take a look at where your paycheck comes from. People who are have been born with the most improbable set of well, pieces of reality. I don't know how else to put it. You know, quadriplegic. And they turn out to be Olympic champions in a quadriplegic category. Or they turn out to be motivational speakers because of what they are. People who are born in slavery, in poverty, turn around and change the world. Why does this happen? What is the miracle that happens when they realize that they are here to serve? They're not here to be served. Now, in saying that, I'm not telling you not to ask for blessings. Ask for it. Because until you ask, you can't receive. You can't. But you might want to back it up with another point of view on how we exchange with one another, on how we live in this collective environment with one another. And, you know, God taught Moses to tithe, to give back to God. Why does God need anything back? He's already got everything. He doesn't. Okay. He doesn't. He needs you to have the perspective that you're the one here to bless. You're the one here to actually serve and to give. And when I hear all of you today, I see that in your voice. That's exactly what you're wanting. But you're kind of hesitant. Well, but am I up to the job? Can I do it? Can I get there? My friend, listen, let me tell you something. Nobody ever worried about being up to the job more than this little one painting a portrait of Jesus Christ. Really? And I didn't have to do it by myself. I was shown what to paint. I was given the tools to paint with. I was given his presence and his guidance. You're not going to do anything alone. And if you think, if you're using, I'm not up to this because I'm just one person, if that's your excuse, you've got the wrong excuse. Because if you're doing God's work, you won't be alone. In fact, if you're just serving others, you won't be alone. They're going to pitch in to help you serve them. You're not going to be alone in that direction. The only way we become alone is if the only one we're serving is ourselves. Then we become alone. But we don't like it, like the prodigal son. We don't like it. We don't like going in that direction. We don't like being alone. So we turn back toward God and toward others. We want to serve, but we're using the same dynamics of thought. But how will I do it alone? My friends, when you go back in the other direction, I guarantee you won't be doing it alone. Like this is what our beautiful friend Ollie was telling us about her job. She's not making much money. But there's so much help coming for her and love focused on her. She's absolutely adoring her job and she's happy and she's glowing. And who knows where this will lead? This is only the beginning for Ollie because she's going in the right direction. Okay. Well, that's my sermon for the day.
That was incredible, Glenda. Thank you so much. Oh my God. I so needed to hear that. And yeah, I mean, I think Yeshua was questioning whether he was up for the task at one point.
So exactly. It's like, exactly. You know, he was. But then he went on into it. And
yeah, he did. Thank God. You know, and it, you're right. You're so right that when we serve God, we're serving others. And when we serve others, we're serving God. It's just this infinite circle of service.
And you're not alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So important. Yeah.
Okay. Well, my friends, we're well past our our pumpkin hour. I think of Cinderella with the pumpkin carriage. We are a little bit past our pumpkin hour, but that's okay, because we needed to give these messages to one another. And I know that everyone benefited from all the messages. And those who didn't speak, you still contributed with your spirit and gave us the wind beneath our wings so that we could speak, because we were speaking not just for ourselves. We were speaking for everyone in this group. All right. Well, I am going to, is there anything more you want to say, Nancy?
Oh, that was just so wonderful. Gosh, everything you said was just so, oh, I think we all needed to hear that today. So we do have one more caller, Glenda. I could sneak him in, if that's a good idea.
Yeah, we could bring Scott in. Scott is usually pretty much to the point. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Scott. I've got your line open. Can you hear us?
Yeah. Thank you kindly. I've got a privilege coming up next weekend to be a featured speaker in a community called Windermere. And I'm going to be speaking in behalf of the healthcare community, Aspire, here in my part of the Central Florida.
Uh-huh.
And there's people there that give donations and support. They write checks for hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I just want to support for a good experience. And I want to sneak in equilibrium and love, community, holistic patterns, anything important that might just help. So thanks for the support.
Oh, you've got it. You got it. And just me, I'm just so proud of you, Scott. And you are, you're such a wonderful example of what I was just talking about. I remember the first time we met, you came to a blessing seminar, and you didn't know how you were going to get here, but with the help of a few others, you got here. I'm surprised you didn't also use a wagon train to get here. You used just about every means of conveyance to get here. And you got here. And you arrived, and we needed somebody to play the big drums that were purchased for releasing Love Without End to the world. And you said, well, I'll do it. And you played those drums for hours, but you were good. I mean, really, you were good. And then you helped more and more with the seminar, and you got your courage up to speak, and then you went home and you really joined a speaking society where you, what was the name of it, Scott?
Well, there's a worldwide community called Toastmasters.
Toastmasters, that's what I was saying. Yeah, exactly. And you just went up the scale, winning awards at Toastmasters, and then you went on to where you could speak anywhere. And what it's all about is, in your mind, you're there for others, and you just haven't stopped growing. It's wonderful to see. I'm so proud of you, Scott. I mean, really. There's nothing in all of this that every one of you can't do. Just take this spirit. You know, when I finished painting The Lamb and the Lion, I asked Yeshua what to do with it. I said, you surely didn't have me paint this to hang on my living room wall. And he said, take it to my people. And I went, oh, Lord, there's 5 billion of them. And they all have different faiths and different practices. And every one of them is going to throw a rotten tomato at me for presuming that you look this way. And I said, but okay, I'll do it. And I called the local church, and they looked at the painting and said, oh, yeah, of course you can bring it to the church. And everybody there was so enthralled with it. They didn't care who I was. They didn't even care how I'd painted him, because they felt his presence in the painting. And that's what everyone was hungry for. And the more I took it out, the more I began to realize all the little things we worry about don't matter. if we're there to serve God and serve other people, that's all they care about. And they think we're wonderful. Really, really. Secret to success. Serve God and serve others, and they will think you are wonderful. So it solves a lot of worries in life. Of course, I still had anxiety about it for a number of months. I think the big moment when the anxiety passed away the most is when I was invited to speak to an Episcopal church. This is long before I was a bishop, long before I was an ordained minister even. And I was in a large Episcopal church. And, you know, the Episcopal church is kind of the English version of the Roman Catholic Church. They're apostolic churches. And only the priest or the bishop or the deacons can be around the altar, or especially behind the altar. And the painting was put behind the altar. And in order to speak about the painting, I had to be given permission to stand behind the altar, which I was given as a servant of God. Okay. Well, I had been sitting on the front row of the church waiting to speak and had not noticed who was in the church. When I got up to, had to climb a few stairs to get up to the elevated portion of the church where the altar was, you know, the stage, and looked out in the church, and there was a congregation of maybe 20 or 30 Hasidic Jews. And I went, oh, my Lord. What in the world am I going to say that pleases them, that they relate to? But I was honored beyond amazing faith that they had come to see this painting. They had come to praise the most celebrated Jew in history. You know, we forget that Yeshua was a Jew, and he did not come to start Christianity. That was a much later deal that was created by the congregations that loved him, the congregations that studied his teachings, the congregations that worshiped him. And they needed places to come together, and they needed a kind of conformity of faith. And from that, the churches grew. But there were no churches in the early days, and most of them were actually Messianic Jews. And it was the greatest compliment of my life, that the greatest confirmation that he brought his congregation to see his painting. Well, I never had a worry after that. I knew after that he was in charge, baby. And I was just a very happy observer in the parade of people that would come to view that painting over the years. So thanks, Scott, and thanks for the inspiration. And you can tell by the joy in my voice, you will be receiving many, many blessings for the success of your presentation.
Woohoo.
Okay. Well, Nancy, let's close that line, and I am going to move us out of, let's see, where do I, oh my goodness, out of Q&A, we're going into. Okay. And let's take a deep breath. You're here. You're in the presence of God. You are blanketed by the love of Christ. You will be given blessings and revelations by the Holy Spirit. Just arise and receive. you are here now in this moment. And this moment will bless every succeeding moment of its continuity into the days and the weeks and the years ahead. We're not going to do breath work because I'm going to leave that for you to do and to do during my prayer to Yeshua. But I do want you to do a little stretching because you've probably been sitting in your chair or lying down on a sofa or wherever, and our joints kind of stiffen up. We want to get fluid moving. You gotta flow. This is the time you're going to flow because this is going to come through you as energy. Now, it's not energy like runs your car. It's not energy like lights your house. It's a very high frequency of energy that will just pass through every cell of your body. It will activate every adamantine particle in your body and will deposit within the whole infrastructure of your body, everything, pardon me, that you can draw upon for your healing in the coming days. So stretch. Just in your chair, if you can't stand, just reach your legs out, move your torso, a little side to side. If you can stand, then make it just a little more vigorous. But this is not calisthenics. It's not even yoga. It's just a little bit of graceful movement because the Lord moves with grace. The Holy Spirit passes through us with grace. And the love of Christ is the most gracious elixir of life you will ever know. So be prepared to receive and let it flow. Blessing givers, will you join me? Will you stand and be ready to begin? O Lord of life, who came to bring the majesty of heaven into the humbleness of earth, that this earth and our human existence may be transformed by the glorious potential of heaven, that the separation may be gone and the infusion may begin, and that all that we are can become a new presence in this earth, a new presence in our own life. As we become transformed in our being, we know that everything in our life will follow the pattern of our new life, our new being. As we are born each new day into our new being, likewise, our life is transformed, and we receive the blessings of God, not as an external supply, but as a supply that flows from the transformation of our being, which you so beautifully, wonderfully, amazingly demonstrated by your resurrection. You went through a total transformation and demonstrated to us that in its completion, not only were you restored to life, but the whole earth was given a new promise of life. We stand today in that promise. Not all of us spoke, but everyone spoke with their hearts, and we know you heard them. We know that you're here with us. And that you care about the least little thing in our life that we may not talk about, and yet it hurts, and we need help. Help us to understand that our Father's universe is plentiful, and there is plenty for everyone. We simply need to accept the blessings that have already been given with gratitude and then move forward. We ask especially for those who don't know this, for those who are lost in their separation. They've moved so far through tragedy and damage, hardship and loss, that they are in a state of separation. And for them you came to find every lamb, every sheep, and bring it back home. For those who are lost in that state of separation, we pray that they find their way home, that they find their way into being all that they can be and become the miracle of their own life. We pray that children will discover this at an early age so they miss the tragedies of separation that can be so harmful and painful as they go through life. We ask most of all that you show us how to love one another, because in loving one another, we will bring the presence of our Heavenly Father into everything. And we will bring hope and victory to everyone in our family, our personal family, our community, and our human family. And now we surrender into receiving this blessing on behalf of ourselves and everyone else. And we ask all of these things in your blessed name. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join? I'm in. Your blessing has been given. Now, it's for you to continue receiving. Receiving takes a lot longer than the giving. So the first thing I want you to do is go lie down. I'm flat on your back, on the sofa, on a bed, on the grass, on the floor, whatever works for you. Just be prone. Be in a state of physical surrender. Okay? And keep your mind blank. Do not think. Don't even continue your prayer, because that will bring forth words, and word brings forth your mind to think. Just be a blank slate upon which the will of God is written. I wish you a wonderful week. Many blessings to be given. And all that you ask for will be given and received in your own time. Bye-bye for now. Look forward to being with you again next week.